Progressive Reason Broadcast Network presents The Heretics Hour with Carolyn Yeager. Carolyn Yeager brings you news and commentary on Holocaust revisionism, World War II history, free speech issues, and more. And now, here's Carolyn.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Carolyn Yeager. The big news in the revisionist community right now is the release last Wednesday of Sylvia Stoltz from prison. Our good friend Gunter Deckert was there to greet her, along with some others, and he is here with us now to tell us about it. Hi, Gunter.
Hi, Carolyn.
Well, I'm so glad that you have been able to join us tonight and give us your impressions and tell us all about how it went and who was there and what Sylvia had to say. So just take it away and let us know.
Yes, with some comrades, we left my home area by 4:30 in the morning. Took at Karlsruhe central station a friend from Strasbourg and arrived in front of the prison at Aichach, that is east of Augsburg, at about 7:45. The weather wasn't very good, frosty, no sunshine, and we had to wait up to 9:00 before Sylvia entered what we call a limited freedom again. About 40 people were present to greet her with shouts, presenting her flowers. And after a couple of minutes, I would say about 5 minutes, we went to a nearby local tavern, a restaurant, to meet. Sure, all those present had to ask questions to Sylvia, and she looked, I would say, very confident. She looked as I had known her from the trials at Mannheim Federal District Court, and she answered questions concerning her daily life in prison, how she had been treated by the wardens, the women wardens, sure, by the other inmates, and she also told about her problems after the prison. I don't know exactly how the American term is. She is free, but she has to observe certain rules. That is to say, once a month at least, she had to appear before a special employee of the court. We call that in German Führungsaufsicht. Anybody who serves his sentence up to the end, she did 39 months altogether, has to appear before a special employee of the judicial system. And she got the chance maybe to change that in every second month or only 4 times a year or 3 times a year. But those rules will be valid up to 5 years. Mine were only 3 years. But you can also attack that by an appeal to a local court at Munich. And apart from that, I don't know if that has reached you, is the fact that a special lawyer's court at Munich took her license as a lawyer away for a lifetime.
Remember, I thought it was a period of time. A life?
No.
For life?
She only, the Mannheim sentence said 5 years she couldn't exercise her profession. Now, right. A special court at Munich said lifetime, for lifetime.
Oh.
The only possibility she has got now is to appeal at the High Court at Karlsruhe, and after that to go to the Constitutional High Court at Karlsruhe as well, and then the last step to go is to the Strasbourg European Human Rights Court. But the chances to get her lawyer's license back are very, very little. There's not big chances to get it back.
That's just...
Maybe she can appeal again after, let's say, 6 to 10 years, as was the case of Hosmala. Hosmala had been taking his license away, and he got it back 7 years after he had been released from prison concerning the RAF group, you know, the Andreas Bader Ulrike Meinhof, RAF terrorists in the 70s. Mahler was in, well, in this outer circle, and he was in prison too, you know. Now he's in prison again, and he got his license back after 7 years after he had left prison.
Well,
I forget. Present were some friends from France, from Italy, and sure, Lady Michelle Renouf. And she even prepared an interview you will have, let's see, at the end of the month in English. I did the translation of Sylvia's answers into English, and I think Lady Michelle will have it ready by the end of this month. And she told me she would tell you when the film is ready, when the film is finished.
Well, that's very nice, yes. Well, I knew that she had filmed it, you had told me, and so that's just great. But, you know, now let me just point out here, it's probably not too important to anyone, but I thought she was in the, I thought Sylvia had been in the prison in Mannheim, the one you showed me. Did she start out there and then they moved her, or was she never in that prison?
No, she never was at Mannheim prison, she was at Heidelberg prison. Because Mannheim prison
is only for
male inmates. There she was for 21 months. Okay. And once the Mannheim sentence had got ready, she had been transferred to the nearest prison possible to their hometown. That is Aichach.
Okay.
The federal state of Bavaria has only got two female prisons. One is Aichach between Augsburg and Munich, and the other one is in the north of Franconia near Bayreuth. And that she had been transferred to Aichach. And the last 5 months, she had been to Munich prison because of the trial concerning her lawyer's license.
Okay.
So she had gotten insight into three female prisons in the little Germany of today.
Yes.
She can write a fine report of what she had lived there.
Do you have any idea how soon this film that Lady Renouf is making would be
I think at the end, she said maybe at the end of the month, even earlier.
I know she'll work very hard at it. So did Sylvia indicate anything about how she felt about this losing her law license for good?
She didn't talk much about that because it's too complicated a case to explain to people present, only want to say welcome to us, welcome to your liberty, It wasn't the atmosphere to talk about that. It's
right.
For normal people, it's hard to understand.
I wonder if she feels that it was worth it, what she did.
I think she thought it was too complicated. The people, those present were more interested in her experiences inside the prison. Not the new case. You only added in a by sentence that she had lost her license for life.
Well, what did she? What else did she have to say then about her experience in the prison?
Well, it was, as I live it, a very new experience, and that she had, well, being imprisoned, a lot of time to think over a lot of problems, to ponder problems, and she said too that her convictions had been supported by this inside prison experience, that normally a prison should change your attitude towards problems. I think her experience was, well, she was more confirmed than before that what she had done was right, is right, and will be right in the future as well.
Well, you know, that's true. They hope that what they do changes people to want to go along with the society's rules better. But it very seldom actually does that. Yet, does she say that to them? I mean, no wonder they would take her license away if they feel that she has not been rehabilitated.
I think that was a problem. She didn't go down to her knees.
Mm-hmm.
She didn't say, I'm afraid, I'm sorry for what I've done. She even used the same tactics of defense as she had used before the court of Mannheim. And though she wasn't willing to give in If you said, well, sorry, yeah, I was mistaken, I am now about 50, I want to live my life, please, please, have pity on me, maybe she might have got a chance, but no, she attacked, the same way she had attacked at before the law court at Mannheim.
Well, we know she would never do that former behavior. Yes, yes, that's just not in her. So, well, so now she will have to fight apart from the law, which is she, well, it doesn't do any good to be a lawyer, hardly, unless you can help others, like the one that we just lost.
But one thing she can still do, she can't defend, she can't anymore defend people before a court, but she can work in the lawyers, with a lawyer, she can help him to prepare defense.
Okay.
That is possible.
Mm-hmm.
She can work as an employee with a lawyer. That is possible.
Yeah. Oh, yes. So all of her knowledge.
But she's not allowed to defend a person before court. That is not possible, actually, for the time being. This sentence is valid and not is reversed by the High Court at Karlsruhe.
Well, was there any discussion or comment or from any of these people gathered who all have the same concern and interest about what possible paths there might be in the future or what the emphasis is going to be on? You know, there was that film that Lady Renouf just released about...
It was more Lady Michelle stressed the importance was on how to make people outside Germany understand what had happened to Sylvia Stolz. How a lawyer who only did his job as best as he could do could be sentenced. That is, well, a question, well, normal people outside Germany, Lady Michelle said, don't understand and won't understand in the future as well. And apart from that, well, she was some question concerning her experience inside the prison. She said she was treated quite normally. She was treated to a well, but sure, you are not on your own. You have to obey orders.
I wouldn't like that.
Yes.
But you must realize when you have the kind of surroundings that you have in a prison, you realize real quickly that you have to, or you really have it even worse.
Yes.
So
normally the intellectual level of those of the other inmates isn't the same. Educated people, well, it was, in my case, it was the same. There were rare, let's say, inmates you could discuss, let's say, earnest problems. But she said, well, she tried to explain when asked why she was in and what she had done and to give them a little insight in the problem connected with the Holocaust and this famous paragraph of the German Penal Code 130. And normally in Michigan, then, they can't understand why she is inside the prison, while she has done some crimes, drug dealing or even killing of babies and things like that. Normal criminal people, huh?
Yeah.
She was only political inmate, apart from a famous RAF member, a certain Mohnhaupt, who had committed the crime against a certain Buback in the 70s. They murdered a high-ranking prosecutor of Germany, of Western Germany. And she was in the same prison as Sylvia was.
Well,
she served 25 years only for three murders.
Yeah, right. Well, what kind of food did she get?
She got her vegetarian food, and she was able to buy some special food twice a month when what they call a prison merchant came in. Twice a month with your pocket money, you can buy special food, fruit, cakes or things like that with the pocket money. Okay. And as long as you don't work inside, you get a certain amount of money called pocket money from the state.
Did she work? Did she have a job, a prison job?
No. Because she was very much occupied with preparing the trial at Munich.
Well, that's what I wanted to ask next. Was she allowed to have books, and was she able to work on things?
Yes, normal books, but she didn't get a writing machine. She had always all those, let's say, papers, documents done in handwriting for the Munich Riot.
You know, nowadays, that's just tremendous. That's awful. What just think, having to prepare legal papers and do it all in longhand?
Yeah.
even writing, if I had to do all my writing longhand now.
Yes. Really? And now, with the help of a computer, you can, well, copy, you can insert. And then
yes.
First, I had to make a kind of plan. I had a rough plan, then to work it out, and then the final script. a lot of time.
Yeah, that's why so many people are writers today, because it makes it easy.
In this way, she was occupied, and she didn't realize her, let's say, bad surroundings. She was occupied with herself.
What kind of a cell was she in? Now, and I think I'll take this moment to remind our listeners, some of our listeners might not know, Gunter, that you were in a German prison for
about the same years. Eichach prison had been built 100 years ago. It's a very fine complex, very, very fine complex. And the small town of Eichach as well is an old Swabian Bavarian style, fine marketplace. The May tree was there. And the cell, as a kind of rule, is about 8 square meters.
8 square meters.
Yes, and a small
window. So she has a bunk. Is it something that comes out from the wall? Is everything just part of the wall,
or is it nicer? No, a normal bed. You've got a kind of a small cupboard. You've got where to stock your books or other writing things, and a small window quite up the room, bath sure, and the toilet and what the wardings is inside the cell. She hasn't got a new one. That is, toilet and shower wasn't separated from the main cell.
But she had her own there with the cell.
Yes.
So the cell has its own kind of. She was on her own.
That's quite a good. She was on her own. That's the best way you can live there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the best conditions, I'm sure.
And as long as you don't say, I will commit suicide, you will be alone. You must only say, well, I want to survive the system. I don't have the idea of committing suicide. I want to survive you.
Yes. that's the thing they fear the most, is that someone's going to commit suicide.
And thus you are allowed to be alone.
Yes. All right. Well, so now where is she going to be? Does she have some family?
She will be at her home place, Ebersberg, which is about 45 kilometers east of Munich. And she has a lot of boxes with her to go through, letters and other things. I think she will tries to be on her own with her grandmother or a friend of her who took her. I don't know who he was. But she promised to comrades present that she will go on a speaking tour by midsummer or the early autumn.
Ah. All right, a speaking tour. Now, in Germany.
Yeah.
So she will be allowed to do that.
Yeah, sure.
Well, she should be.
The only rules to be obeyed by her are to present herself for the moment once a month at a special employee who tries to speak to her, to insert her again, or to integrate her again into the Western German society.
All right. So they present this condition as helping the rules are not severe
because there might have been no contact with so-called right-wingers. No towns or places she's not allowed to go. All those rules are not in her sentence. Compared to Vincent Renoir, the Frenchman, who had been released a week ago, he has to present once a week at the police station. He's not allowed to contact certain persons to go to certain places.
Well, yes, that's the one I call him Vincent Renard. I'm trying to get him as a guest on this program, but I don't know if he will be able to do it for the very reasons you're saying. They have so many restrictions on him.
Yes. He's a little anxious because he fears another trial. I don't know if you
was he released early, Vincent?
A week before Sylvia was released.
I mean, he didn't serve out the whole sentence they gave him. Is that correct? They released him.
He served the whole sentence that had been valid. That was valid.
Now he
is waiting for another trial to come, and that's why he has these strict rules.
Why does he have another trial?
Don't know. Maybe a friend of mine who came from Paris, who is a good friend of Forrestal's sister, said maybe early autumn, late autumn, or the beginning of next year. And is the problem of having sent a special disc to French grammar schools.
God.
That is a new accusation. The old sentence is finished, but he may be sentenced again to prison. Maybe, or possibly. Nobody knows.
All right. Well, I don't want to try to say things that would just be a problem for people. Is there anything more about either of these situations or the general situation of arresting and imprisoning people in Germany?
Yes, maybe you reported about the demonstration outside the Mahler prison near Berlin.
Mm-hmm.
And I will have my appeal trial at Mannheim Law Court maybe this summer or in the early autumn. It's about my help concerning the German version of Mardonio's Auschwitz, the first gassings.
Mm-hmm. Right.
It will be in late summer or early autumn.
Because you translated that as a speaker was speaking it in English, you translated to the German in German to the audience that was there, right? And because
that was the launch address.
Yeah. Yeah,
yes, it was in 1991. That was in November 1991.
Why is that coming up now?
No, it's not a Leuchter problem.
Oh,
that's what you went
to prison.
No. It's a new one because 2 years ago, the British friends contacted me if I could give them a hand in finishing Mardonio's German version Auschwitz, the first gassing. I find a kind of toss of old fragments. Some passages translate into German, some left in English, some in Italian. And I was now sentenced because for helping to finish and to make, to finish the German version and to help for the possibility of distributing it.
Oh, okay, right, all right. I'm sorry. I got those two things confused.
No.
It was with the Leuchner that you were...
That's gone.
That you were translating extemporaneously.
That was the
book.
A different job I did.
Yeah. Yes, and so you just can't get away with anything, can you, Gunter? Anything you do, they are watching you.
Yes, it's me. Other people, I still, I still have a special reputation among my friends in the government and in the system.
Well, let's just say for a moment, you are faithful to your convictions, and yet we see politically that not just the right wing, but the nationalist right just does not seem to be able to grow in Germany in the atmosphere.
Yes, of mind of the new Germans of today. That's a special problem. The French, the Italians, the Danish or the Dutch, opposed to the same problem, don't react differently. The Germans, I don't know why, is this special guilt complex. And you can't compare the Germans of today world with normal European people who would fight against Islam, fight against immigration. The Germans are different, most of them. And it's also a consequence of the German media that day for day or hour per hour will hammer certain ideas into the public, and those who change or who leave the path, the official wanted path, are attacked as Nazis, right-wingers, Nazis, and things like that.
I have to interrupt you because we do have to take our break now, and
okay,
we'll be right back in a few minutes, ladies and gentlemen.
Okay, fine.
We'll be right back with more on the Heretics Hour. You're listening to VOR, ReasonRadioNetwork.com.
The battle for influence over the international airwaves has opened a new front.
Failure to do this will be paid, I am afraid, in American lives. Better to win the war of ideas than have to win a war.
In Washington.
You recognize this paper? This is published by the Communist Party of China. It's distributed widely. I think it comes to every one of our governmental offices. And do we have a similar publication that goes to the people who are in the Chinese government?
American international broadcasters do target China, Iran, the Middle East, and other nations through the Voice of America, Al Hura, and others. But audiences are shrinking.
The BBGs and others, 2010 showed that only 0.1% of Chinese listened to the Voice of America in Mandarin.
Just a decade ago, American and British outlets dominated the international broadcasting market. But today's multipolar world is reflected in its broadcasters, from China to Venezuela, Qatar to Russia.
Franz Van Kamp, International World News.
Telesur. You're watching Al Jazeera.
NHK World. You're on your news.
This new media landscape has top officials in Washington worried that U.S. broadcasters are losing influence.
We are in an information war, and we are losing that war. I'll be very blunt in my assessment. Al Jazeera is winning. The Chinese have opened up a global English language and multi-language television network. The Russians have opened up an English language network. I've seen it in a few countries, and it's quite instructive.
Critics say the diminishing audiences are the result of the U.S.'s desire to influence rather than inform.
They're going to try to go into these countries and probably try to buy news, basically. It'd be a true propaganda arm rather than a news gathering and reporting outlet, which is what RT, Al Jazeera, and the Chinese network are going to be.
But while many love the need for freedom of information abroad, others seek to have it silenced at home.
It's a propaganda campaign, and right now we are at war. And would you have Goebbels broadcasting during World War II? Would you have Tokyo Rose?
Campaigning to have RT and Al Jazeera taken off American airwaves.
American taxpayers are helping to put, right now at this time, Jihad TV on the air.
And investigated in Congress for their role in radicalizing Muslims.
We do think they ought to be expanded into looking at the operations of foreign propaganda channels like Russia Today on American soil. We'd also like to look at Al Jazeera.
Even as Americans increasingly turn to them for fresher views and real news as U.S. corporate media up their entertainment programming and punditry.
We've opened up these huge gaps because we're more concerned with reality.
Let's return to the Heretics Hour, brought to you by VOR, ReasonRadioNetwork.com.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. I have as my guest tonight Gunter Deckert, the well-known German nationalist, and he's been telling us all about the release of Sylvia Stoltz. And we've talked about a few things, and we were just, as we broke, talking about the German voters and what keeps them from any kind of embrace of the right. They continue to vote for social democrats and left-wingers. And so I'm going to ask Gunter now to talk to us about the recent elections in Germany and then to go on and talk about all of the prospects in Europe, including France, and what kind of prospects there are for the right-wing parties and nationalist parties.
As I put it before, in Germany, what we call die Uhren gehen anders, Glocks go a different way. Compared to the behavior of voters in the neighboring countries, be them Romans, be it French, Italians, or Scandinavians, Denmark, or Sweden, where right-wing parties, or as I call populist parties, make some percentage and even get into parliaments, as in Sweden, as in Denmark, as in the Netherlands, where even the right-wing party, but a special one of Geert Wilders, is able to influence the actual policies of the Dutch government, or in France, where the daughter of Le Pen is said to have good chances in the next presidential election. She is before the actual President Sarkozy. Or in Italy, well, you can say Berlusconi's party is a kind of, well, center populist party. In Switzerland, that is the only German exception, but Switzerland is not German in the way we understand it. The Blocher Party, the Swiss Populist Party, now is about 28 to 29%, and even in Austria, the liberal right-wingers of the FPÖ are able to make about between 7 and 15%, depending on the area they are presenting candidates. In Germany, it's a consequence of what we call the re-education that has, well, more or less introduced by our American friends after the war, which is part of the official doctrine at the universities, at school, almost everywhere. In the media, it's present all day long. And so the people are anxious of voting, well, a party which is right of the CDU. In Saxonia-Anhalt, that is the area between Magdeburg, Dessau, maybe some people know, the NPD, only right-wing party presenting candidates, got 4.6%. In Rhineland-Palatinate, which is not far away from me, it's Ludwigshafen, Mainz, Trier, Koblenz, Speyer, you know, Caroline, you've been there, Speyer.
Yes, yes.
The NPD made 1.1, and the Republicans, the Republikaner, the German, 0.7, altogether 1.8. There we have now a kind of coalition government between the Social Democrats and the Greens, who in that area are a bit of left liberal. And in my homeland, that is the Baden-Württemberg, we all had to live as a price, which is not a result of problems in this area, but which is the consequence of what happened far, far away in the Far East, called Yokoshima in Japan. And that caused such an anxiety, such a German angst, that a lot of bourgeois, good-earning people, voted the Greens. And it's the first time in post-war Germany that we will have a Green boss of a land, a Green governor in the Baden-Württemberg after the end of the war, who is a special personality. In his younger days as a student, he was an active member of a Maoist communist group at Stuttgart University. But strange to a Green functionary, he is a Catholic, an active Catholic. He is still married with the same wife and has got 3 children and is a member of what they call ein Schützenverein, a member where you're allowed to shoot. A strange personality, and now he appears like a kind of monk. Very bourgeois, very, very friendly, and he will have a coalition with the Social Democrats. The problems are not as to our industry, which is very strong. Mercedes-Benz, Daimler, a strong one, Siemens, Bosch, but they will change, sure, the contents of our educational system. Gender mainstreaming, they are in favor of gender mainstreaming, they are in favor of lesbianism, of marriages of homos, in favor of immigration, in favor of, well, everything that is anti-German, and it is now assisted by a very, very large group of normal bourgeois, liberal, good-earning people in the Baden-Württemberg. That is strange, and nobody can understand that a faraway tragedy, a faraway tragedy decides on, let's say, the political contents of our education system in the southwestern part of Germany.
Well,
oh, no, don't forget it. The NPD and the Republicana together made 2.1%.
It's gone downhill, hasn't it?
Yeah. It's crazy. It's crazy.
Yeah. It continues. It has not improved. That Germans feel that they should not think of themselves at all. They have to be thinking about other people, like you say, people far away.
You'd think,
for intelligent people, you'd think they'd finally wake up a little bit.
The problem of foreign immigration now with those, let's say, wars, civil wars or revolts or rebellions in the north of Africa, will have a new wave of asylum seekers.
Oh, I know. Tell us about that.
That didn't interest the voters. We have to pay a lot for those bankrupt states of Ireland, Portugal and Greece. Billions of euros, billions of Deutschmark, that didn't interest the voters. We have got problems with, jobless. No interest.
Well, what issues, in the center of the media,
only was Japan, the new Chernobyl. Terrible.
They just want to help Japan.
Yeah. Crazy. For example, not far from here.
That's the newspapers. The last few days I've been looking at the German newspapers in England, and I disgust me so much. I don't know if, of course, it's Berlin, I guess, but the images, the pictures that they show in these papers online to show Germany are so disgusting. You think it's just a cesspit of sin there or something, you know? I mean, and then the headlines, you know, all of it. And now there's a new Eichmann exhibit that, and then there's the new, they're playing up these so-called tapes that they took from German Wehrmacht prisoners.
Yes.
All the horrible things.
That is quite normal, at least once a year. We get new texts, new photos that are old, that only presented in the 70s and 80s, but who has an archive? And if there's another generation, they must be indoctrinated by the old material, the old songs, the old texts, the old fairy tales. That is, there's a system behind.
Yes, I realize that.
Yes,
and so all the new, the younger people that are looking at it for the first time, it's evil. Well, what now? A lot of my listeners I know are going to be interested in, as I am, in these nationalist parties in Europe that are more successful, but they seem to be doing it by being quite friendly with Jews or having
that's part of them.
Now, I'd like to know whether you think that them having more say in the government by doing this or getting more voters is worth doing this.
Let's say the first to start with this kind of political game, I would call it, were the Flemish. And you sure know that Antwerpen is a center of European jewelry, the diamond industry.
Okay.
And Antwerpen also, due to refinery industry, has got a lot of North African immigrants, above all from Morocco. Mm-hmm. And then the Vlaams Belang, the Flemish National Party, now cooperates, or has been cooperating for some years now, with those Orthodox Jews to fight Islam. Islam sure has is more, let's say, active. You see more Americans or Islamic people in Antwerpen now than you see Jews. And they think, or they thought, or they, well, I think I was in, that once the Jews are backing them, they will have a better press, a better presentation in the media. And as the Vlaams Belang is very, very strong in the Flemish part of Belgium, it's about 35%, having mayors in big cities, it's a grassroots party, you can say. If the Vlaams Belang is successful by being backed by the Jews, we may try the same. And the next to do that was a certain Gert Wilders from the Netherlands. He is a Jew friend 300% and anti-Islamic. Mm-hmm. On the same path now follows the Schwedendemokraten, the leader of which is a Jew. You must know, maybe not in turn. And the same after Le Pen has given a scepter to his daughter, Martine Le Pen, who is divorced three times and like that, well, follows the same path. And last autumn, when it was in November last year, a group of so-called right-wing populists, Schwedendemokraten, the Wilders Party, called Freedom Party, the Vlaams Belang, some members of the Austrian right-wing liberal party, FPÖ, went to Israel, went to Jerusalem, went to see farmers in the West Bank, and accepted a kind of declaration that the security of Israel is in the interest of those European parties too.
That's right.
And
that's right.
Marine Le Pen will do the same, maybe in summer. And the first to go this way was a certain Gianfranco Fini. I have known this Fini when I was a young nationalist. Then in the 70s, he was the leader of the young fascists of the MSI of Italy. He later left it, founded a new party, Alleanza Nazionale, National Alliance, and with the help of Paolo Berlusconi, he first became foreign minister of Italy, and now is the president of the Italian National Chamber. Well, backed by Berlusconi and the Lega Nord, Umberto Bossi. And well, they think the media are controlled by the Jews. If we are for Israel, the Jews will look upon us more or less as friends. We won't be attacked because of our political programs, opinions, statements and actions. And then normal people will say, well, you are good ones, you are good Democrats, and they hope to get more percent, more mandates in the different countries. But they're inside the French National Party, the British National Party, their opponents. They are traitors. And I don't know how it works out. In Great Britain, Griffin has more or less divided the party, the British National Party. In France, there is the conflict between Bruno Gollnisch and the old followers of Le Pen and his daughter. In Italy, there's the new MSI gaining ground. And in Austria, there are now big blocks inside the FPÖ because Strache, the then leader, well, was part of the pilgrimage party to Jerusalem.
Well, now, here's my question then. Because it makes sense that they say, okay, you know, we don't get anywhere because the newspapers are against us and they won't ever play us up or report anything. And it seems as though voters are influenced by that, even though they should know better, but they are. And so if you can get the better press, then they say, well, this is a political tactic that we're using. And what do you think of that argument as opposed to that actually they're infiltrated or they will be infiltrated? Because, you know, there's a difference between parties being and
maybe I'll give you the name of a certain Dr. Notbuch. Have you ever heard of him? Dr. Notbuch.
No.
He's a German who had lived in Austria and now has been living for about 15 years in South Africa. and he has written some fine articles concerning this change of tactics. Well, tactic change, no. And he is also fluent in English. Maybe you can ask him if he is willing to answer questions concerning that. He is better informed than I am concerning this problem. But he says, and others as well, that the Jews have infiltrated branches of the right-wing parties in Europe, and as a kind of, well, weapon, they use the united fight against Islam. Mm-hmm. And it's sure that there are more Muslims in Germany or in Europe than there are Jews. The Muslims are a problem of number, and the Jews are a problem of influence and money. And it's strange. For example, they demonstrate against mosques in Germany, a right-wing populist group, having flags of Israel with them. No German flags, flags of Israel. And it's possible that they are financed by Israel intelligence services or Jews from all over the world for the campaign.
Oh, I'm sure.
A campaign costs money, no. Even in America, they need to choose some candidates to finance their campaign, and it's been the same here. And certain Jew groups, it is said, I think it's possible, by some politicians. And as, well, a thank to them, they are more or less in favor of the Israel policy against the Arabs in the Gaza Strip or in the West Bank and things like that.
Well, it doesn't seem like a good political position, even that, because as you say, the Jews will be in control, and you are still not going to gain any advantage. I mean, we're not going to the right won't gain any advantage from it, even if they get people elected. They're not going to be the true-hearted people.
Yes, apart from it, in my mind, those who are on this path lack of character. Mm-hmm. They are only interested in winning seats in parliament. Mm-hmm. And no, our parliamentaries, our members of parliament, are well paid. It's very, very well modern only to think of your own pocket and only pretending to be a kind of right-winger. And thus throwing overboard, as I want to put it, old ideas, right convictions, only to be accepted, only to be paid, only to be able to lead a fine life with a lot of money in your inner pockets.
One of my themes now is that we have become so Judaized, money means everything, and you've brought this up many times.
Right.
And there really is, we don't even have, it's very hard to find people like you. And you, of course, have no you have no success. I mean, we can't have any success with these values because nobody cares about them.
But Karen, I still hope that I will be still live when there is a real change, a change worth this name. Now, in history, everything is possible. It may take long. Figure out when I was a young man, I said, well, we want Central Germany bigger. Oh, Günther, you are a dreamer. You don't live on this earth. You are somewhere in the skies, in the clouds. Mm-hmm. Well, and we had the small reunifications. In history, a lot of things are possible. And it's necessary that there are people who stand, who don't get on their knees, who don't accept modernization, and who, well, show character, even if it's very hard to fight on. Huh? It's not easy.
Mm-hmm.
But
mm-hmm.
I can't change my personality, my character. I am as I am.
Well, thank goodness. It's too bad there aren't more, because as we see in the political realm, it's just, you know, selling off is the name of the game these
yes,
days.
Yes, so, yes, yes.
Well, what do we do about these parties that are all getting cozy with Jews? Now, this just goes to show how incredibly powerful Jews are. And to say that we can't talk about this Jewish power, this, I think we need And I'm not saying to you, but more to people out there, we need to be more vocal, not be concerned about being called names and not being concerned about becoming even more unpopular. We need to become more vocal about Jewish power rather than think, well, we've got to get more numbers first and then we'll do it.
I get some, for a long time, from time I get messages saying anti-Semitism is growing in Europe.
Mm-hmm.
That is right. Mm-hmm. More and more people get aware of the fact that there are some institutions, be it money or nothing, where in the high-ranking apparatus, more and more of the chosen eyes are present. But as it is a problem of financial power,
mm-hmm.
they are able to succeed nevertheless. For example, the Madoff case states was treated here. They know Bernanke is a Jew. Karl Strauss is a Jew. Huh? They realize, but there's a lot of financial power against normal people. And this time we can even say, well, if Mercedes-Benz, for example, doesn't accept maybe certain rules, they may get into problems and say, so anywhere to export cars. Huh? It's the financial power linked to economic power, which keeps, well, people down. They know, but they don't realize if I speak out, I will lose my position. Maybe my firm will lose some contracts, mm-hmm. meaning less exports, more jobless, and that's the way people are kept well on a very low level. In smaller circles, or where they know themselves, they are frank. They speak out. They are more open. They are franker. But outside, it's what they call. I would say it's an anxiety, money, economic power behind, and if you don't act as they, meaning quotation marks, want to act you, you may get, and you sure get, into trouble.
Well, what do you say to those people? There are those who know Germany, or say, think they do, and do, you know, who say that Jews are not in control of Germany, that Germans are, but these Germans are, you know, of our mind. How do you describe the amount of control of Jews in Germany, or is it just that they control the thinking?
It's a control of the thinking transported via the media. There's no important financial Jewish power inside Germany. If there's any, it's from outside Wall Street.
Yeah.
But the German banking system is not controlled by the Jews so far. Neither is the German industrial system, but it's more a moral control linked with, what I say, what we call Zeitgeschichte, the history between the end of the First World War, the Weimar Republic, up to the end of the Second World War. And with this combination, well, keep in mind those bad days when, and it is enough to put the German elite of today on their knees. It's a moral control, I would say. And even now we have got a lot of Germans, even intelligent Germans, who are on politicization, who want to keep their position and therefore keep silent. So they know better.
Okay. On that, Günther, we have to close. I want to, I think we covered that very well, and I want to thank you so much for appearing. And also thank you, I'm sure, from everyone who's listening, for your steadfastness and your intelligence and for being the person that you are. And we look forward to the next time you come on. And I hope it won't be too long from now.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much, Caroline. Thank you much, Mike. Have a good evening. Bye.
All right. Good night, listeners.
Thanks for listening. The Heretics Hour returns Monday evening, 9 p.m. Eastern U.S. time. Join us at ReasonRadioNetwork.com.